So let's look at page 26. I called this Cartesian logic. These are Cartesian coordinates. Actually, Don Anderson, who was managing Advanced Neurodynamics a long time ago, was a calculus nut. And Don and I had a discussion around 1989, wherein he showed me Cartesian coordinates and how they worked. And I've since refined that as to how do you actually do the work with language. So Don, by the way, was a great guy. And if he looked at this room that you're sitting in as you listen to these CDs, he could write a a calculus formula that would describe you in the room mathematically and how the room exists with you sitting in it listening to the CDs, which was interesting. Don would write formulas for almost everything. And by the way, what we're about to talk about here now is just a way of thinking. So I noticed that Don's thinking was different from most people's. And I said, Don, tell me about that. So first, let's explain Cartesian logic or Cartesian coordinates, and then let's talk about how do you learn how to think that way.
Cartesian coordinates come from calculus.
Cartesian coordinates actually come from calculus, and we use predicate calculus with them, yeah?
So in order for a statement to be true, it has to prove true in all four quadrants. Notice we have four quadrants.
Anybody a calculus nut here? Or into quantum physics? Good, good, good. Okay. So you know that for a formula in calculus to prove true, it has to prove true in all four quadrants.
So the first quadrant is the theorem.
It's called the theorem. The quadrant in the upper right-hand corner is called the theorem.
AB. Then we have the inverse, which is A not B. That sign before B means not. Then we have the converse, which is not A, B. And then we have the non-mirror image reverse, which is not A, not B.
Now, again, this is just a way of thinking. If we took a sentence, and the sentence would say, what would happen, this is the example, yeah? If we took a sentence, and the sentence were to say, what would happen if you did, we can use this formula to generate other sentences which allow us to think circles around the original sentence.
And what would we do? We would divide the sentence in two parts, an A and a B. In our case,
arbitrarily, we'll say A is what would happen, and B would be if you did. Arbitrarily. We're just saying this arbitrarily. Any sentence can be divided into different parts. We could make the sentence into an A, B, and a C, but we're just doing an A and a B.
Then the inverse will sound, what would happen
if you didn't?
Because we have not B, yeah?
So that's A, not B. Not A, B is
what would not happen if you did.
And not A, not B,
what wouldn't happen if you did not.
Now this is just a way of thinking.
All we did, we took the word not and we put it in front of certain words in certain parts of the sentence. That's all we did. In this way, you can take any statement, divide it in an arbitrary A and B, and run it through the four quadrants.
Any statement. Any sentence can be arbitrarily run through this modality of thinking. Now, by the way, for you calculus nuts, just as an aside, we did leave out the equal sign. Normally, this would be written A equals B, and we admit that, yeah? To make it simpler, we took the equal sign out. It doesn't have to be there. And we arbitrarily divide a sentence into A and B.
Now, let's take an example that will make no sense, but will assist us just to learn how to think in the four quadrants. Let's take the statement, I see a chair.
I see a chair.
Let's divide it into two parts. I see would be A, and a chair would be B.
B.
With that so far?
Yeah.
Good. Then how do we do the process of running this statement through the four quadrants?
What is the inverse?
I see.
Not chair.
Not chair.
Now, is that true? Yes.
Sure. You see everything else around chair, which is not chair, correct?
You see everything else which isn't chair.
Good.
How about the converse?
How is the converse?
I don't see a chair. Or I not chair. See chair.
Is that true?
Well, it depends on where you look.
I mean, if you look the other way.
Could be true, yeah.
It could be true.
Now, how about
the non-mirror image reverse?
One other thought about the converse.
Yes.
One other thought about the converse. Yeah? Think about this for just a second. We could say, not I see a chair. Now, is not I see a chair true? Sure. Sure.
It is.
Who in this room is not you?
Everybody else. Not you.
So, not I see chair. Is that true? Yes.
It sounds funny, but it's true.
Yeah. And then finally, not I see not chair.
Which is also true, yeah?
Is that true? Yeah.
With us?
How interesting.
So.
Four different ways of approaching the presenting problem. Again, this is just a way of thinking. Let's go over it one more time. So we're going to put the sentence. Let's do it this way. We're going to put the sentence. I see a chair. We're going to arbitrarily make I see into A and a chair into B. Arbitrarily. So I see a chair. And we're going to do this if you look on slide 41. The Cartesian logic is on slide 40. Now we're going to move to slide 41 and this example. I see is equal to A. A chair is equal to B. Now, again, this is just a way of thinking. We're going to run this through that process. So the inverse would be I see not B, not a chair, which is correct. Is true, yes?
Okay. Good.
Good. The converse is, well, if we were to be really precise about it, we'd put the not in front of the I. So not I see a chair. And at the non-mirror image reverse, we get not I see not a chair. And technically, from the point of view of proving this formula in all four quadrants, it is correct. So this is a way of thinking multidimensionally, not Aristotelianly. Is that an adjective?
Now it is.
It is, because I said so. Yes, quite right. So Aristotelian logic goes like this. Everything is either X or not X. Now, we've added multidimensionality to it because quantum physics and quantum biology and your body and your nervous system are, quite frankly, multidimensional. So now we add that process of thinking to it. You with me?